And welcome to yet another Power On Podcast Portable. How are y'all doing out there? I am Sushi B, and with me as always is the venerable Taylor. How you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Feeling better. So really excited for another episode, and I think we've got a nice one rounded out here for it. Are you ready for it?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. We are going in with a very, very well-loved and cherished series. And this is the sort of the curtain call. I guess I would say it's the curtain call anyways.
The swan song.
Of the traditional series. Yeah, the swan song of the traditional series. And we are referring to Phantasy Star 4, The End of the Millennium.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so we decided to go a little further back with the ye old Sega Genesis or Mega Drive, however you like to call it, and bust out one of the most popular and famous RPGs on the system.
Indeedy.
Yeah, and it's a game that I experienced quite a bit, maybe not quite a bit after, but at least a 4 or 5 year span after it had come out. I finally got a chance to play it. A kid at school lent it to me because I was a poor kid who couldn't get any games, and I had a Genesis around 2000 or so. And I got my hands on the game, and I just devoured it. I ripped through the game probably in maybe 4 or 5 days, which was pretty fast for me at the time. But I loved it. I loved every minute of the game, and it was nice to go back and play it again. How about you?
It's been a long time since I've played it. I want to say I first played it in 96 or so, because that was, about a year or so after it came out?
I think it came out in 1994.
I thought it came out in 95.
Maybe. Well, somewhere in that neighborhood, for sure.
So, yeah, because it took a while to get from Japan to America, North America. Right. But, yeah, either 96 or 97, so it's been 15 years. So.
Oh, wow.
So,
it's been a very long time.
Yeah, so it's nice to kind of come back to it, and I guess play a game that I really enjoyed as a kid and play it again as an adult, which, I mean, I've kind of done that with a couple other games, and my outlook of the game has either stayed very positive, or it's changed from negative to positive, or, I mean, it's gone a whole bunch of ways. Usually it doesn't stay very bad unless it's a movie. But besides that, I tend to enjoy it more coming back to it after such a long time of not playing it. So.
Right.
But I still love it. It's Phantasy Star.
Cool.
So.
I played it after beating it that one time. I did get around to getting my own copy, maybe in the early-ish 2000s. I was fortunate enough to get a complete copy.
Nice.
With the manual in good shape and stuff. And I remember beating it again then. And this is the first time I played it in almost 10 years as well since then. So, yeah, it was really, really awesome to get a chance to play it again. And we both played this on the PS3, the Sonic Ultimate Genesis Collection, or whatever it's called.
The Sega Mega Drive Ultimate Collection.
Sure, Sega Mega Drive. So we played it on that, but we both have experienced it on the Genesis as well. There is no change. It is the exact same game on this disc. So that was actually nice. I was glad that there was no changes at all to it. It was just the straight up original game.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty nice. And I do apologize if you hear fireworks in the background.
Somebody really likes Phantasy Star 4.
Yeah, exactly. Much Jubilee celebration abound here. But it's definitely nice to actually be able to play the original version. I would have kind of thought it'd been cool if they'd have also, even though it wouldn't have made sense since it is the Mega Drive Ultimate Collection, to kind of include at least maybe, I don't know, kind of a preview of how Generations looked, but then I remembered it never made it outside of Japan, if I remember correctly. So
yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
It would be kind of worthless to. This is something you never got.
Well, people probably would have bought into it, though, thinking that it would have been a nice addition, as you said. People would have really appreciated adding that, but I'm sure they probably didn't have maybe disk space for all that, or it just didn't even occur to them because it hadn't been translated. They just didn't even bother with it.
Right. So, oh, well. But
yeah, but anyways, that's beside the point. We are talking about Phantasy Star 4, and why don't we get right into it?
Right into it!
Yeah. So why don't we dip straight into the story?
Okay.
I think that's traditionally the best place to start. And this story is very unique in that it, for me at least, it really perfectly wrapped up the Phantasy Star series to this point. It does a very good job of cleaning up a lot of the loose ends. Of course, there's always going to be something that's still open that people want to interpret and maybe believe that they could continue the story, but it fixes its position in the series so well that it doesn't really need another game in this traditional series if Sega ever wanted to make more Phantasy Star games this way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's really, it definitely kind of ties up as much as it can with particularly more so one and two than with three, but that's reasons won't get into. But, I think, I guess you technically you could go back to it and kind of, you know, maybe do something in between or something, but why?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is a big question of why. Why do you need to?
I mean, that's kind of what sometimes gets to me with certain game series, is that they drag it out. Eventually, it's got to end. The story has got to end at some point. I mean, please. Just and this is great. There's four games in it. It's not like your typical trilogy. There's four, even though you can kind of throw out one to make it three. But I really liked how they wrapped everything in this nice, wonderful package called Phantasy Star.
Yeah, and they really went out with a bang in the sense that they pushed the Genesis as hard as they could when it came to graphical capabilities. Maybe not so much when it in the sense of the overworld and stuff, but definitely in the battle sequences and in the cutscenes. There's a lot of memory being used up just for that. And I think I read that this was meant to be a Sega CD game originally.
I believe that's what I've heard as well, that it was rumored to have been, well, maybe not rumored, but it was possibly set for that, but they toned it back.
Yeah.
So that actually more people would be able to play it.
I guess, well, would buy it because, yeah, not that many people were buying into the Sega CD. So.
So.
But a lot of the cutscenes do feel like something that would have been on the Sega CD, which is pretty impressive.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty, the cutscenes are pretty cool in it. What did you personally think of the progression of the story itself and whatnot? So.
It's pretty basic. It's not going to rock your world by any means. It's a lot of almost fetch questing of, here's our mission. We need to get this item to continue on to the next part of the mission kind of thing. It's very straightforward. It's a lot of the character elements that they bring in regarding old characters from the previous first two games anyways, that really at least give the story a little bit more balance and something worth caring about.
I could definitely agree with that. I think if you were to sit there and just straight up play four, you might like it.
Mm-hmm.
But without playing one and two, it really kind of takes away from the, I guess, just the love of the game itself and story.
Right. That is some massive fireworks.
That, they're like right next to my house, so I can actually see it. It looks.
Happy Shut up!
To me. Happy birthday to me.
But anyways, yeah,
it's like a Western shootout out there.
We should have been talking about Gunsmoke or something. Yeah.
But yeah, anywho, yeah, the progression itself definitely would have to agree with you. It's more kind of God and mighty end of the world. But it's definitely very kind of fetch quest heavy. Like you can kind of break it down into, I wouldn't say thirds,
yeah,
but it's kind of like the first two, for lack of a better way to put it, it is kind of in thirds. The first two thirds are rather lengthy. However, the last third is very abrupt, I would say. It's very quick. The dungeons are very quick. You're just like, tut, 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 okay, done.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I mean, you could argue that a lot of the game is that way anyways. It's not a long game. It's really not. Maybe, what, 15 hours or so?
More 20.
Well, 15 to 20, you can probably finish this game.
Well, I mean, if I'm just trying to think, if you've never played it before,
yeah,
20 to 25, I would say would probably be a good rough estimate. because you might something we'll probably get into a little bit later is that certain boss fights.
Yeah.
So.
But as a whole, I've always felt this game was very quick, and the pacing is just okay. Do this and do this and do this and do this, and then the game is suddenly over, and you don't really have a lot of. There are side quests you can do and stuff, but they don't really detract so far that you're stuck in the game for a long time.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, the story is what it is. It's a nice wrap-up for fans that previously liked 1 and 2. And I think even if you don't know much about Phantasy Star, you can probably still enjoy parts of the story, but you might be a little hard-pressed to be really wowed by it.
That's definitely for sure. So many fireworks.
Every time you try to talk, you can hear fireworks burst off in the background.
That's how exciting it is over here. yeah, so no, I agree with that. But I would definitely say that playing 1 and 2 naturally just kind of really make the experience even much more wholesome.
Yeah, or even just cheat and kind of get at least a bit of backstory and read about 1 and 2. It would certainly help a lot with 4. So.
Right. But yeah, I guess what do you want to go into next? Kind of the battle system. You want to kind of brush up on that real quick?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay. Well, I mean, for the most part, it's pretty typical for the battle system. It's turn based and whatnot. However, what's really cool is that not only do you get 5 awesome characters, which the grouping, if you're not used to it, might be kind of goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Is your first character is in the center, and then it's off to left of center, right of center, and then the left edge, and then right edge.
Right.
And if you're not kind of used to that, it's kind of a weird formation.
Yeah.
I guess. But it's just kind of your typical turn-based love fest, I guess. There's not really too horribly much that's unique about it outside of the combination spells, which are awesome,
yes.
However, are rare sometimes. Because they don't tell you. They're not like, hey, combining somebody using certain skills at the same time will produce this awesome skill of sweetness. It's more of you kind of just have to just get lucky sometimes and be like, oh god, I gotta find how to do that again.
Right. And the problem with that is that the game has each character's speed is different, so the computer can adjust that at any time that it feels like it. So even if you do the proper skills and you think that those characters are in order, sometimes it still doesn't work because the computer just decides, well, no, you're going to attack. Then the computer is going to attack you. And then that other character will attack as well.
Negation.
Yeah. So sometimes that can be a little bit frustrating if you're in trouble and you just want to bust out one of these special moves and you just can't do it sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed to... In the latter half of the game, it didn't seem to be too much of an issue when you're trying to do, in particular, Grand Cross.
Grand Cross, no. Not too bad. But some of the other ones, you have to really perfectly set it up.
Right. So at that point, it's just Grand Cross and go.
Yeah, basically.
So I don't know. Like, because there's not really too horribly... Probably the thing that gets to me a little bit are the items. Some of the items aren't really explained. You have to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you use them, if you're new to the game or the series and stuff, you might be kind of confused. Like the dews.
Yeah. So
the star dew, the moon dew, and the sun dew.
Right.
I think. And you try to use those, but they don't explain what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find them and use them, you're just kind of like, okay, I have no idea what this is. But then you find a shop later on that sells these things for an exorbitant amount of money.
Right.
But it's just, I wish they would have kind of spent a little bit more time explaining some of the items a bit more. So if somebody who is new to the game or the series in general, I would have a better idea.
I mean, you could say that about the magical spells and stuff too, though, right?
Right.
You look at the name and maybe you can guess, well, that could be a fire spell and that could be a water spell. But... because I hadn't played the game in a long time as well. I forgot that a lot of the names were different than just fire or water. And at first, I don't typically use magic that much anyways, but there are some parts where you want to use some spells or techniques that are meant to destroy biological enemies or robotic enemies or something. And you're just kind of guessing as you're going along.
Mm-hmm. So... But yeah, so that's yeah. I guess a bit of trial and error. Yeah, I guess, yeah. But something you kind of you had alluded to earlier was how awesome the sprites are.
Yeah.
In the battle scene, because they do make it moderately plain for the overworld map and the overhead views and whatnot. But when it's in battle mode, it's pretty nice on the eyes, for particularly at that time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, the game is extremely colorful as well, so you get lots of vibrant colors, and they really, really come out well in the battles.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're in some of the more kind of futuristic setting and stuff, you can see the dashboards and stuff kind of flickering lights.
Sure, lights flickering and stuff. Yeah, it's really, really cool. And a lot of the enemies, maybe if they have a shotgun or something, when they shoot you, it's a big giant laser beam comes at you and stuff, and looks really nice.
Mm-hmm. I really liked when you're in your vehicles and you have fights, because then you're in, and it shows the dashboard and like all those different, different, help me out here.
I don't know what you're getting at exactly, so.
Well, just the different kind of dials, they're not even dials, though. It's just screens, I guess, different kind of screens and everything, and all the kooky stuff's going on, and it looks like technology, but it looks extremely foreign, which is really cool, because it keeps that kind of fantastical element, so you can be like, oh, you know, the algo system is real.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect most computer dashboards to be that sort of light green aqua color. So, I mean, those are really colorful, too. But those are kind of pointless battles, too. They never feel important.
No.
You're just sitting there mashing a button, and you hope you don't die, basically, because you can never upgrade the vehicles to get more hit points or anything. You're just trying to out-duel them, basically, just take them all down.
Personally, I just run from them. I just like, yeah, screw this, we're gone. Leviathan, bye-bye.
See ya. Sandworm, nope.
It's just because it's not even that it's difficult. It's just more of a hindrance than anything.
It's just basically sitting pushing the button. But if you miss a button push, say you accidentally click run and you don't run away, you're probably going to die because you have such a low amount of hit points.
Yeah, it can be a bit edgy. I don't know. They do allow a little bit, because the monsters won't seem to miss a lot when it comes to the vehicle fight. But it's not fun when you're like, come on, don't get killed by a stupid sand.
Yeah.
Stupid.
And they're not terrible, but they just don't feel as good as the regular fights do.
Right. So. But yeah, what else would you like to delve into?
Well, we haven't hit the characters at all, so we should probably do that.
That would be a good idea.
We get a pretty substantial roster in this game.
There's, 11?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, plus a sort of 11th character.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm counting that one. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, you get a very big range of characters. I mean, seeing as you have a party of 10, it only makes sense that you would have a very large number of characters to choose from. Sort of. You don't exactly get to choose all these characters, which is a bit unfortunate.
Yes, no. I kind of like how they went about it, and you're progressing from different areas, and some characters come in and then they'll leave. I'm a big fan of that when it comes to RPGs. Either have that, or have it be like a group that sticks together throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't really change. I like that kind of party as well. I don't like having here, like Chrono Cross, here's a bunch of characters, let them all join. Here's an alien, here's dogs.
Guitar player from
the beyond. But I really kind of enjoy that. It makes it feel more like an adventure, because not everybody is going to be like, oh yeah, I'll go with you and totally risk my neck for whatever the hell you guys are doing.
Yeah.
So. I guess start with the main character.
Sure.
Good old Chaz.
Chaz.
What do you think of Chaz?
I like Chaz. He starts out very foolish and headstrong and kind of just, yeah, whatever. I'm no problems, no cares in the world kind of thing. And over the course of the game, he's not fully matured by any means, but he definitely starts to see the world a little bit differently by the end.
Right. They definitely make a point of kind of bringing that up. With some of the scenes near the end, that he is a little bit, I want to say jaded almost?
A little bit.
Jaded, or at least kind of scarred from like all of it that goes on, because I mean, that's something that you'd like to see instead of just kind of a very static, which seems to happen a lot
Right.
Is that the main character is very static. They might go through a change, but then they're kind of back. The change happens, and then they're back to their normal selves.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of unfortunate. It doesn't seem to. I don't know. It seems to be the case with
them. There's a bit of that, though. I mean, you do get a bit of that sense of Chaz kind of going back to the way he was, but there still seems to be a bit more sense of a little bit more world-weary and traveled.
Mm-hmm.
Not totally, because, I mean, what is he, 16 years old or something, right, in the game?
Right.
So he can only grow up so much in this short amount of time. So.
Right. I didn't mind him so much. He kind of fit the bill for what they were going for, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So, but nothing really too amazing to kind of put him above some other characters, and nothing right. too crappy to really put him below.
Yeah, no, he definitely fits in with what they wanted to fit him into.
Right.
And he fits fine. He's not totally forgettable, but he's not this overpowered, super amazing character that you think is going to rule the world or something.
Right. So I guess jumping from Chaz, going to Alice.
Right. His mentor, who basically just becomes his partner over time.
What's her nickname? The 8-stroke?
I forget.
Or something like that.
I just remember.
Which never is explained.
Isn't there a bunch of gags about her breast size and her waist size and stuff like throughout all the towns and stuff? Nobody knows exactly what they are, and they're all trying to figure it out or something.
Yeah.
Stupid like that. But no, she's a cool character. She's very calm, whereas Chaz is very head forward and trying to always just, you know, guns a-blazing and stuff. And she very much knows what she needs to do in every situation. But at the same time, she still has this kind of softness and innocence to her, despite being a hunter. I don't know if you kind of got that or not, but I kind of felt like she knew more than she let on.
Yeah, I kind of got that. I think she was definitely one with the world and not mm-hmm. kind of like an out of place character.
Yeah.
She definitely, her interactions with, with like Han are like hilarious. And just some of the things that she says and how she interacts with some of the other characters, it made her feel more kind of real than you would say with some other characters in RPGs.
Mm-hmm. And she's a strong female character. She's a good female character.
Right, so it's not like, you know, she's just kind of like, oh, save me, Chaz, or something.
Right.
But I enjoyed her character. I think she was pretty funny.
Yeah, she's good. She's a really good character.
Yes, same.
Well, speaking of Han, what did you think of Han?
Han? I don't think there's really that much to say for him.
He's not bad, but I found him a bit forgettable. I mean,
yeah, there's really not much to him. He's just kind of... he's a student who's about to get married, or he's at least engaged.
Yeah, he's engaged, and
he's just kind of a cog to the machine, I guess. He helps kind of make it go.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Let's move on from him then. There really isn't. So
yeah, there really is.
After Han, you'd have Grizz.
There's not much to say about Grizz either.
His name is badass, though.
It's a pretty cool name. Because it kind of makes you think of, like, grizzled or something.
It looks kind of grizzled. He's got this almost insect-type face, but he kind of resembles a bear or a raccoon or something as well.
Yeah, well, that's because he's race.
Yeah, he's a natural Motavian, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right.
So, but now I don't mind his character. It's just that, how to put this, most of the dialogue with him bugs the hell out of me for some reason. Like, he seems so stalked. Like Han, at least he has those interactions with Alice, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, he has those little bits about his fiance and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Grizz doesn't really have that.
Yeah.
He turns down doing awesome things, and I know I said that was a good thing, but he turns down doing awesome things to be with his sibling, which is cool.
Yeah.
But he doesn't even like seem really relieved that they've accomplished what he wanted to do for his kind of revenge.
That is true.
He's just like, oh yeah, whatever. But, yeah. Okay.
We did it. I'm going home.
Yeah, and seriously, it's a line of text, I think. It's just like, okay, I'll see you guys later. It's
like, going to eat Cheetos.
Something.
Mom's baking cookies.
Well, I don't think
it was never his mom, but,
yeah, but
uncle, or who is it? Grandfather Doran or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really... I'm not a big fan of him. Like, I don't like his character very much. It's cool that he's in there, but in the same hand, I'm just kind of...
He's just kind of in there.
Like the break to the machine, where he just stops things. I become sad.
Okay, well, fair enough. I really like the look of the character at the least, and the name. I think they did a good job on that part at the very least.
That's probably all the effort they put in. Let's make him at least a cool name, because he is not going to be worth anything.
I guess so. Okay. Well, moving on from there, let's move on to the one of the two robots or androids that you get, and that is Demi.
Well, as I say, you want to kind of start off with that then, or
sure. Demi's a fairly important role in the game, but she kind of really gets thrown to the wayside very quickly as well. Mm. She's only there to serve one purpose, basically. And after that, and it's too bad because she is a pretty good character, but she's just kind of thrown away very easily.
Yeah, she that's true. She's kind of like,
she's the damsel in distress, basically.
Right. And by, you know, kind of helping her, and she's trying to do what she can for her kind of mission and stuff.
She gets captured.
Yeah, she gets captured, and then you save her, and then after that, you take her, once you've rescued her and done everything, and you take her to where she needs to go, and...
She can't do anything.
She can't do anything. She's kind of, I'll do it again! Oh, yeah. Wait, I can't do it.
Her whole point, basically, is to make the players think, okay, she is going to do something, but she's just the segue to a better android. And let's move straight into Ren, who is awesome.
Ren is pretty sweet.
Ren's a really good character. He's very powerful. He serves a lot of function as well, because he is an android that can control a lot of the machinery and the tools that are running a lot of the environmental weather patterns and things that are happening on all these planets. And he also has the ability to access all kinds of spaceships and things like this. He's probably thousands of years old, right?
Well, he's
998 or something, right?
Yeah, 98.
Sorry, yeah, he's 998 or something. And he's just a really cool character. He's very generic in the sense of the way he talks, because it's exactly how you would expect an android to talk. But he does have a few funny human-esque type lines in there as well.
I guess something I forgot to mention, this kind of harkens back to the battle system, is that with the androids, you cannot heal them by normal means.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. I really, really like that.
Yeah, that's very unique.
For some people, it might be a little frustrating, but I thought that was really cool. They heal by, like, walking around on the map or by...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and if they do fall in combat, they basically spring right back up after the fight.
The human characters don't. You have to use an item or take them somewhere.
Reaver.
Right.
Or whatever they
can. But, I mean, luckily the androids do have their own recovery abilities, which do recover a very large amount of their hit points, too.
Right. So but
Ren does stink when it comes to magic, unfortunately.
But that's whatever. He can just sit there, take hits, and...
Pound the hell out of you with his bazookas.
With his plasma rifle of glory. I actually like his design, too. I dig the design.
Yeah, it's pretty
that he
cool.
has. So he is pretty awesome.
He's a good character.
And I like how it's spelled. I'm another fan of the kind of how the spelling went for that one, where it's like W-R-E-N.
All right, why don't we speed it up here a little bit? So after that we have, well, the next character that would come in line, I'm just going to skip over because I want to get to the character Kira. I wasn't sure what you would think of her. She's sort of one of the few magic users in the universe, sort of. There's like a school of magic users, and she's kind of a little bit on the higher end of magic users. Mm-hmm. An Esper is what they're referred to. Mm-hmm. And she's another character that unfortunately doesn't really get much time in the game, because she's actually quite useful, and it would have been nice to get a bit more out of her other than just her being from the magic school, which leads, again, to a story about another character.
Yeah, she doesn't get a lot of, like, I guess... time in front of the camera, but you definitely use her for a long time because she's with you for a few dungeons, and those dungeons are quite lengthy.
Yeah.
Particularly one.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish that she would have had a little bit more time, but the time that she did have, I wasn't a big fan of her kind of character. It was just kind of, it's just some of the, like, the way she seemed very juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even for the writing, she kind of always like, oh, call me big sister. And it's just like, shut up and just heal me. Don't need this. Just, you know. But I did like her character. I thought she was pretty helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so that's cool. What I have to say about Kira.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that. So, all right, well, we have three others. Let's just fire them off quickly. Three, at least for me, three of the better characters, the strongest characters. We have Rika, who is, I can never say it, Newman.
Yeah, Newman.
And she basically looks like, if you play Phantasy Star 2, you're not going to be surprised, but she looks like, was that Nei or Ni? And she's just got the pointed ear. She basically looks like a human, but she has a little bit of features. She sort of has a nose, like a chipmunk, a little bit, but she's essentially a humanoid with just some different abilities. Very strong character, very useful. I don't know what you think about her, but I mean, I loved having her in the party. She's really, really useful.
And she's with you for a very, very, very long time.
Almost the whole game, actually.
So it's quite nice. She, at first, she's extremely helpful because she has very good healing.
Yes.
And then she kind of, I would say, for the middle part of the game, she kind of, I would say, little plateaus.
Yeah.
But then near the end of the game, she definitely really has some nice skills that she can use, like the double slash and what's the other one, where it attacks everybody. I don't remember that one. Shoot.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
where
about.
Where she kind of like fades in and out of existence.
Yeah, I keep thinking of illusion, but that's just
it's illusion, attack. But with
it's something else.
Beating the hell out of them.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a good one. Yeah, she's a really cool character. I love the design too. It's nice that it's a callback to a previous game, but with a completely new character and a completely new behavior and thought process and everything. So
very innocent character.
Yeah. Well, she's like 1 year old or something, right?
Well,
something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So two last ones. We have Raja the Priest, who is from Desolus, and he's basically, as he's called by one of the other characters, an old fart. He's pretty old. He's like 85
or 86.
Something like that. Yeah. And he's just basically, he's supposed to be the lighter side of the game in a lot of ways. He just cracks really bad jokes.
Yeah.
And he's just there to be the really bad humor. He's a really good healer, though. He's by far the best healer in the game. Great to have in your party. Obviously, as a healer, he's not going to be upfront attacking, but he does have a couple of really good spells that Saint Fire, which does damage to all the things on the screen, and just he's a really, really useful character.
Yeah, see, I don't like the humor because it's so cheesy, but
it's really cheesy.
But he is definitely an awesome character to have, and he also is the only one that I can think of where his healing, the heal all skill that he has, will actually heal the android.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, and also he has, it's like Astiax or something, where it'll actually recover your, kind of your skill, not your skill points, but your...
Tech points,
yeah.
Right.
So, which... And
doesn't
which
he also really have nice. A spell that gives you healing each turn as well?
A regen, yeah, I believe so. He very is useful. Pretty awesome. For as cheesy as he is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So. All right, why don't we jump straight into the last character, which is Ruin. And he, without, sorry for the pun, ruining any of the story, he's very important to the story, and he's also by far the best offensive magic user in the game.
He's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, he's an excellent fighter when it comes to that. He does take a lot of damage when it comes to physical attacks, as you would expect, and he can die quite easily in the later section of the game. Early on, he actually holds his own quite well, but as it gets deeper and deeper into the game, he died, at least for me, a lot.
Early on in the game, he's extremely high leveled.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what balances it out, but near the end of the game, it feels like he's made out of paper mache.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised you call him that. I always call him as Rune, I guess.
Didn't I say Rune?
I thought you said Ruin.
Oh, well, sorry.
I didn't know if that's...
I think you're right. Ruin. I think I'm just saying...
Rune.
I think it's just my poor pronunciation.
Come on, Sushi. But anywho, he's pretty awesome. And he is... Other than the fact that he is made out of paper, he's probably the best character that you have.
In the entire game, you think?
I would say so. You just equip him with two shields to make up for his paper-like defense and just kind of wail on things.
Yeah. That's typically what I would do with Raja too, is give him two shields and then have him just stand back and heal or throw that fire spell.
Right. I mean for offensive purposes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Rune is the one to go with. Raja would definitely be by far the best healer of the lot. So.
All right. We've spent a fair amount of time on the characters. Why don't you just quickly rank them 1 to 10? I'll say the name and you just give a number.
But we forgot a character.
No, I'm not including him. Forget him. He's not really on the team, so. And that could be a bit of a spoil, so.
No love for Seth.
Yes, no love for Seth.
That's okay. All right, okay, throw me.
Okay,
throw
so Chaz.
Like, from 1 to 10, so
one
each
ten,
one has
score.
Their own number. Oh, okay, so just kind of rating how they are. Yes. 5 being the average, I would say an 8.
Oh, okay, I would say 7.
I was torn between 7 and 8.
Okay. I can never say this name. Alyssa or Alice?
I would say I would give her maybe a 7.
Okay, I'm 8.5. Han?
4.
6. So balance out of 5. Grizz?
1.
Oh, jeez.
I don't like Grizz at all.
5. Ren?
Ren, 10. He's on.
Ren, 10. Okay. 9. Demi? 6.5. Rika?
I'd say 8.5, 9.
8. Raja?
10.
Really? 10 for Raja?
Because he's such a damn good healer. I mean,
despite the humor?
Well, yeah. I can look past that. Okay.
I give him 9.5. Kira?
I would say probably a 7.5.
7. And Ruin? Ruin.
Give him another.
Ruin. Jeez.
I'd give him
I
a 10.
I cannot say it. 10.
I'll give him another 10. I love the R names.
All right, I'll give him a 9. Cool. Okay. All right, why don't we skip ahead, because that did take a little longer than I was expecting, actually.
Yeah, I guess, is there anything else you want to add? Good. Oh, bullshit. No, there is. Music!
Yes.
what are your thoughts on the music?
I like the music a lot. I found most of it to be quite subtle and... It's interesting that there's such a unique blend of almost that space saga and space opera type theme at the start. It also carries over to a lot of the other parts of the game, but most of the planet themes and stuff are very low-key and not very even noticeable at times. Sometimes you forget that the music's even playing. I think probably my favorite song in the entire game is the Motavia Overworld theme. Mm-hmm. That's probably my favorite. But I think that it fits the game really well in so many various ways. The boss battle theme is just kind of average to me, but I like the regular battle theme a lot.
Same here. I really enjoy the normal battle theme a lot. So, and particularly, I like really a lot. I like the opening and ending.
It's the same song, isn't it?
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Where's Firelaster?
Yeah, I don't think that's that big a spoiler.
Well, I think it is, just because it kind of... what it does for it, it really kind of alludes to the whole... It's come full circle, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and
well, that's as we said, how this game really ties up the loose ends of the series. So maybe that's a good point of something.
Good point to make. The thing I do also want to bring up is that I... really liked how this was on the Mega Drive because of how the music is. Mm. And it really lends itself to the setting a lot more than I think it would have had it been on maybe the Super Nintendo or something.
Or the Sega CD even, right?
Right. Because it's got that very, it's got that very, I don't want to say stale. What's the word?
Well, it's sort of digitized.
Digitized is a good word. Very... What is the word I want to use? English escapes me. But it's just so kind of, I guess, futuristic. Yeah. I know it's not exactly the word I want to use, but it's kind of got this very... It's a bit weird to it, but it gives it lens to it and adds to the flavor of the whole game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I understand what you're going for there. I think that the limitation of the sound card in the Genesis is a benefit to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some other Genesis games, it's a big hindrance on them.
Well, and that's unless you really like that sort of style of the sound and stuff. So.
Right, whatever it's like a, whatever, MIDI format or the MIDI format or whatever it is.
So, yeah, I guess any other things you want to kind of bring up? Or?
No, not really. I think this is a very good game that a lot of people are already aware of and have played. But it's a game that I think you should revisit if you have played it, unless you've played it really recently. Revisit this game and just kind of re-experience the magic of Phantasy Star 4.
That's definitely good. I guess I would agree with that. Just be forewarned, going back to it, and if you haven't played it for a very long time, you might get the feeling that I did, which was that the writing for it was very juvenile.
Yeah.
I can look past that. I can definitely look past that, but it's very basic. It's not going to leave it, which is nice for something of what it's going for, but
yes.
Playing it now, it's just a little bit weird, I guess, because yeah. I'm almost anticipating a bit more scientific discussion or something a little bit higher up.
And you get terrible lines such as, "You silly, don't cry."
Yeah.
There are a few translation goof-ups. Yeah. One other thing we didn't mention that we both actually encountered was that weird menu problem. Remember?
Oh, God, yes.
It's not a huge problem, but there's just some weird little glitch that often adjusts when you're trying to scroll through to something, and it always shifts one down by accident for some reason. It's really bizarre.
Nearly killed me a couple times.
I never had that much of a problem with it, but
yeah, because I would want to do the because it also not only can you just do the normal fight and kind of pick everything out, but you can also macro them to. A certain, so you can have them, okay, somebody attack, somebody cast some sort of buff spell, somebody do all this stuff so you're not constantly doing it, or you can just have them all attack. And, well, I would do that. However, sometimes it would have me try to run, and I wouldn't be able to escape, and that would hurt a lot. So, be careful. So, yeah.
Great.
Woo!
That's a bit of a wrap on Phantasy Star 4. Play it if you haven't.
Exactly, definitely. Full show.
I think it's a double thumbs up from us.
So. Yeah. So nice. I guess we should kind of go into what we started with the last episode.
Yes, sir.
And that is the Detective Gamer.
Right.
So did you want to kind of brief, quick intro for those who might not know if they didn't quite listen to the last episode? Or?
Sure. Detective Gamer is a new segment we've added to the portable episodes. And it's just a bit of a game to hopefully get people encouraged to not only listen, but get a bit more involved in our show as well. And we're going to put out a few clues each time we put out one of these episodes. And hopefully you can guess the answer to these clues. And over a certain period of time, if you get 3 points, so if you can guess 3 different answers, we have already decided to put a little package together for whoever can get the 3 points and ship it out to you. Just as a bit of a thank you to anyone who listens, and also just, again, to kind of encourage more people to listen.
Exactly. And I guess should kind of point out the, just real quick, again, it's kind of 3 clues, and there'll also be a visual clue to kind of help out. So if you're listening to this, you might want to shift it over to YouTube and search for the clue there.
Sure. But, it's not necessary, but it might help.
So. Right, exactly. And also, how we've kind of said it is a time limit of 84 hours or 3.5 days because of time differences and whatnot. I think it makes it a little bit fair. And the first 3 correct answers are responses. And where do you send these responses to? You send them to bananastand@fastmail.fm. And I'll have the email down in the description, but if those who don't listen to this on YouTube, banana, BANANA, stand, STAND, all one word, @fastmail, all one word, .fm.
Wonderful.
Send your answers there. And for the last one, so we give the answer, if you couldn't figure it out, the clues were, 1, Konami, 2, it's an Easter egg in a sports game, 3, appeared on the NES, the SNES, the PS2, and a lot of other systems, and was most recently on WiiWare. And the answer was... Not going to help me out here.
Is that my cue?
I get...
All right, the answer was...
the Vic Viper. Yeah, the Vic Viper. So, yes, and...
yeah, why don't we get into the new one here?
Exactly. So let's go into the next one here. So for this episode, the Detective Gamer, the clues are, number one, an ex-military convict. Number two, has a sleeve tattoo. Number three, he's forced to partner up with a member of the opposite sex.
There you have it. See if you guys can get that one. I don't think that one should be too terribly hard. I think the first one was a little bit more challenging than that, but
yeah,
we'll find out. We'll find out.
It shouldn't be, but I'm giving you the full thing. No mistakes. Full names.
Yes. I'm very confident that someone can get this one.
Yes. So, but yeah, that's, I guess that is it. Anything else you want to add, Sushi?
No. Play Phantasy Star 4.
Play it.
Enjoy it. And love Grizz. Send your love letters to Grizz at hotmail.com.
So, that's really about it. Play Phantasy Star 4. Enjoy it. And if you have played it, tell us how much you loved it and whatnot. So,
or hated it if you did not.
Or hated it. But if you did, I would be very sad. But it's all right. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. And have a good day.